This is one of those passages. It's a favorite passage of mine. And I want to deal with it tonight. And the simple title, Don't Trust in the Wrong Things. Don't trust in the wrong things. The underlying title, naturally, if you went into the text, a short bed, a narrow covering, and a sure foundation. Thank God for His grace tonight and the privilege of looking into the Word of God. You can take notes on this, Bob, and preach it anytime you want to. Yeah, you can catch that ball game some other time. Go ahead and take your message down. Let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord bless. Father, it's real precious to be able to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. And Father, I realize that a lot of our folks are still with family, and the fathers are enjoying the blessings that you bestow upon them as their privilege just to see their children grow up and take up their place in the work of the Lord. So we don't fault them tonight. We pray for them and ask your blessing upon them. Let them enjoy the sweet fellowship even further of this day. It's been a good day thus far. Appreciate your blessings. And I pray you'll bless the time we have together as we read the Word. The truth is that you promised to bless your Word, not our commentary on it. And so I trust that you'll meet the need of every heart and life, each one that's here tonight, as we read through the Word, and then as we deal with the message, and trust that it'll encourage folks along the pilgrim's way. We'll thank you and we'll praise you, for we ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaiah 28, verses 12 on through verse 29 of this particular chapter, said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not thrashed with a thrashing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not even be thrashing it and break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And what a conclusion to the chapter, at least, as we think in terms of how great God is. God himself is wonderful in counsel. He even instructs the farmer what he ought to do, what he ought to plant, has appointed places for it. And when you have a God like this, you don't need anything else. The one that will instruct you and put you in the right place, doing the right things, then you're standing on good, solid ground. Because God has made a place and has laid a sure foundation for us today. But I want to go over just a few things, and pointed out this is a text that's not unfamiliar, at least to most of you. In the time that I've been here, I would have to plead guilty to using the same text more than once. I always appreciated Dr. Roy Kemp. He said one time that truth is that a preacher doesn't even get a message straight till he preached it about three times. So we want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight. Now, the illustration, of course, is the short bed. Everybody knows what that is, especially if you're beyond normal average height. And it gets uncomfortable with your feet hanging off of the end of a bed. And then, of course, the narrow covering. The bed is made for a place of repose or rest. And if a person cannot rest, then it's not an adequate bed. And a narrow covering. If it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then it leaves us lacking, and you might get cold, as the case might be, or it just doesn't fit well. But the idea is that it is a covering. And in the midst of man, there are some shortcomings. But not with the Lord. The rest is secure and complete. The covering is adequate. And more than adequate, it's a glorious covering that God has provided for us. Now, we didn't read the first part of this chapter, but I probably need to go back and give you some background. It starts out with Ephraim. One of the tribes of the children of Israel. And that tribe is overcome with pride. Drunkenness is characteristic of them. And what a sad commentary upon a people that have been blessed, as Ephraim has, with the choices that God had made for that people. The Bible tells us in our chapter, if we were to go back and read it, that Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot. Then we move forward and we find out that Jerusalem is guilty of the same thing. That apparently human nature is always the same. And there's an impending judgment that is coming. The Assyrians are coming in judgment and destruction. Now, the men of Jerusalem think to hide in a refuge of lies, and it will be somewhat later. It will be postponed for Jerusalem from that occurs in the northern tribes of the children of Israel. The idea that Jerusalem had was that they would feign submission, or pretend to submit with the thought of their own craft, that somewhere they would find an opening and they would then rebel against this impending force that came against them. And thus we have their refuge of lies. They built their own religion. And I don't want to just do an exposition on false religion, but there are folks that are building their own ideas today, and I've dealt with a few of the folks that embrace the lies, and they speak with great confidence of their security, but they don't have the sure foundation. They simply have that which is built on lies. Realize tonight that any religion that's built on anything but Jesus Christ, as He really is, the person that He is and was here on earth, the very Son of God and God the Son, that it's a lie. And it's really not a good place to stand. With our best laid plans, do you think that God cannot see it? The Bible tells us that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So God sees the falsehood, and it's just not a good place to be. But there, again, Jerusalem's idea would be that they would feign or pretend to submit, and then they would rebel at the right opportunity. And thus they have wrapped themselves in that which they think covers them. They're resting on something that they, if you honestly ask them, would say, well, this is adequate. Usually, and I say usually, a false religion is built with the idea that we can rest in it and that God's going to be content, but God will not be content because He's watching. The Bible said He watches all the day long, and He sees the good and the evil. And certainly then the refuge of lies is not adequate. And thus we get somewhat of a picture of the scene that is before us. But God will lay a foundation in verse 16 of the text that we've read. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, or their idea is that they won't have to run. But they will have to run because they're going to be caught up with. In this particular text, it speaks about God Himself laying the foundation. And it speaks of a cornerstone that is a tried stone. This would call to our minds the fact of the building of the temple by Solomon. Interesting story related to the building of the temple itself. While in process, there were certain ones that would come, and on a rotating shift, they would stay for a certain number of months, and then they would go home and another crew would come in, and this went on. But there came a day in the building of the temple by Solomon that a strange-looking stone came down from the quarry. The building of that building, there was not to be the sound of a hammer at the building site. It was to be a quiet place, even though they were laying stone. And any stonemason will tell you that it's rather difficult to stay quiet. But the design was such that it needed no modification. Now that speaks of Jesus Christ and what God has done. You don't have to modify Him. You don't have to add anything to Him because the work He has done is adequate and sufficient. But the Bible tells us that God will lay a stone, a tried stone, a cornerstone. Well, in the story that I was in process of telling, there came a time whenever the building was in its completion, but they lacked one stone, and that's the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone in that type of a building is not the same as a cornerstone that we have here. Oftentimes, we try to equate what we read in here with something that we do today. There are certain markers that we will oftentimes put in a building. In our case, I had a beautiful stone picked out for a cornerstone on the front. The problem was that the rock masons just didn't want to pick it up. It wouldn't weigh over 200 or 300 pounds. I don't know why they would pick it up. Young men and strong, you'd think they'd want to let just, but they broke it. They said, oh, we hit it and it broke. Well, sure, it broke. Hit it with a hammer. But they left a rather large piece, and it's in the corner of this building over here. But that's not the kind of cornerstone. The cornerstone that I am speaking of holds the building together. Really, everything else leans against it. And do you realize today that everything leans on Jesus Christ? It's a glorious truth that one day He'll come for His own. Everything leans on that. And we're looking for that day. It's going to be a glorious day. We think that oftentimes on earth we have a good day, and we do. I enjoyed this morning. I hope you did. Sometimes I feel like probably I enjoy preaching a whole lot more than the folks do listening. But I can't help that. That's the best to get. But it's going to be a glorious day then. A day that is beyond our expression at this point. Probably even beyond our comprehension, even in part today. What's going to mean when Jesus Christ comes for His own. But anyway, this stone would fit into a place right up in the dome of the temple, and all of the building would lean on Him. Can I just take an aside for a moment, and I'll try not to chase too many rabbits and run too many different directions. But even Israel one day is going to recognize Jesus Christ. Amen. Nationally. Right now they're nationally in unbelief. By and large. Now we've got a few men that are working among the Israelites, and I'm thankful for every one of them. The Bennetts have been in the work for a long time. We had just first started. I doubt if we'd been here 3 years whenever Brother Bennett came by the first time. But he was a missionary in Israel. And he's still there in as much as he possibly can be. And still stays up with the churches and tries to assist them in the effort for the Lord. There's three churches that exist in Israel today because of the effort of that missionary. And we've got another young man, somebody telling me his name. It slips my mind right at this point. Mumney. I think doing a good job. He's learning the language well, and he's wanting to work, and he goes and he does work among the Israelites. If he can do nothing better, he'll get on a bus and just ride and try to start a conversation with somebody. And he's apparently got a number of folks that he calls from the U.S. that he now deals with. And so we do have a few, but by and large, nationally speaking, Israel is in unbelief. But one day they're going to believe in Him. They're going to cry out, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And so this tried stone, the builders down on the site sent back word to the quarry, "You lack one rock, you lack one stone. We need the cornerstone. We're ready for it." The quarry sent back word. We've already sent that a long time ago. And one of the workmen that had been there at various times through the years remembered that there was a stone they couldn't find a place for. And they'd cast it aside. Israel cast Jesus Christ aside and said, "We'll not have this man to rule over us." But one day they're going to want Him to rule over them. Be a blessing to them. But they went down and they began to search and they found that cornerstone, and when they dropped it in place, it fit perfectly. Jesus Christ fits perfectly into the scheme of things. God lays a sure foundation. It'll not need any modification. It'll not have to have any change made whatsoever. There'll be no design altered. God has a plan and He's working His plan. God will lay a tried stone. It's a precious cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. He that believeth will not have to try to flee away, because they'll not be hidden under a refuge of lies, but they'll be under the truth. And you know, the truth is the best place to be. Amen. Jesus, our Lord, said to those early disciples, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In my own experience, I tried to build a righteousness that God would accept for a number of years. But there came a time whenever the truth penetrated my heart, found logic in my mind, and I understood that there was a salvation that God had provided, and the truth set me free. Truth set me free. Now, as we think about our text, we need to understand that God's judgment is exacting. It's not going to be in variance. But in verse 17, "Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." If we're under a lie, there's going to be a destruction that comes and wipes that away and leaves us very exposed before our Lord Jesus Christ. But judgment will be laid to the lion. That's why it's so important tonight to trust and to know Jesus Christ. If we don't trust Him, don't know Him, anything else we're trusting in can be swept away. Thank God there's one that can't be moved. That's Jesus Christ. He lays righteousness to the plummet. And again, all lies will be swept away. Reminds me of the scene at the great white throne. The dead, small and great, stand before God. The books are open, and the folks are judged out of the things written in the book. They're very exacting. Somebody with a long heritage as far as a family name is concerned will stand there and say, "Surely I'd be saved. My family has been in the liquor business for years." I'm just saying that now, that because some of the wealthy ones made their living in that and their wealth in it. But there are some that would stand on their own basis and say, "Surely God will accept me, but it'll be swept away because He lays righteousness to the plummet. It's not going to vary." Righteousness or judgment will be put to the line. All lies will be swept away. Third thing, actually, that I want to deal with here tonight is that they have a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. But the writer said the bed's too short. Can't rest here. There's not any rest like knowing Jesus Christ to repose upon His finished work. I mentioned it in the message this morning, the statement made just before our Lord committed himself to the hands, or commended himself to the hands of the Father, said, "It's finished." The bed's just too short if you don't find your repose in Jesus Christ. There is no rest, even though the bed is designed for rest. And a man cannot stretch himself upon it. The covering is exactly that, a covering and protection. And if we're not protected in Jesus Christ tonight, we stand exposed. And the writer again said the covering's just too narrow. It's not adequate for the need. When I stand before God Almighty, I want to be sure that there's a covering that's adequate. I want to know that it's taken care of. That there's left nothing to chance, but all has been accounted for. And as the writer said, it's just, the covering is too narrow. It just won't fit, won't cover. A man cannot wrap himself in it. This could involve reformation. And that's not adequate. Now, I'd like to see some folks reform from what they are. When I think about the person that's addicted to drugs, whether they're legal or illegal, is really not any difference. I mean, if he's bound by that addiction, he's just as enslaved by one as the other. And I'd like to see some folks reformed. Because of a situation that involved my own family, there was a cousin of mine that had actually through the years become an alcoholic and then had progressed to drugs. In a PTA meeting, there was a U.S. Drug agent that had come by. And I waited till folks got away from him and I said, "I want to know one thing. How many folks really escape from this addiction and something is done for them?" And he looked at me with, I think, somewhat of a look of desperation and said, "One in a thousand." Well, that's not a very good average, folks. But if you were to ask God the Father, how many are you going to save? He'd say, "I'll save all that'll believe." Not only would there be reformation, but there would be a rebirth. This short bed, narrow covering, it just cannot cover the original sin, nor our own personal sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only covering. Said we'd try to get out early, and we are. Just a quick conclusion. What are you trying to rest on? Trust the sure foundation. What are you trying to wrap yourself in? Trust a fitting cover, which is all bound up in Jesus Christ.